Welcome to Scenes, conversations in culture with the people who know it best. We chat with guests across music, art, fashion, film, sport and technology in a bid to understand the scenes we love that little bit better. I'm your host Lenny, and in this episode I'm joined by creative director and co-founder of Concept Object, Jack Moolock. We chatted about his love of audio, sound system restoration, collaboration within music, the circular economy, waste, and the value which we as a society put on the art of making. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Can you tell us the first thing you fell in love with and the impact it has had on you later in life?
Oh, the first thing. Well, I'm quite a romantic at heart, so I'm constantly falling in and out of love with objects, but my parents are antiques dealers and sports historians, so I love old things. I can remember the first time I played a Valve guitar amp, and that was something that was so visceral, and like the energy that came out of it was like, it was fucking orgasmic, mate. Like, it was like a game changer, and that was an absolute like revelation to me, the difference between going playing through something that was analog or like just a shitty PA that my dad bought me when I was like 7, through saving up and buying my first Valve amp. It was a Fender Twin. It just fucking wailed, mate. Like, it was the one, and like, I still have way too many amps, bear in mind I don't play. There's this beautiful company in Devon called Cornford.
Okay.
And I saved up for years to buy a Cornford amp, all point-to-point welding, like barely any parts. It's just got an on switch, but it just melts you. It's just this incredible experience, and the fact that it's so responsive, and it's like this haptic experience that you get from playing it. So everyone falls in love with instruments and amplifiers, and you pick up a guitar and it tells you such a story. So I've always fallen in love with old instruments and old amplifiers. I think the idea that it's an old thing but it increases in value is also super interesting. Like, you take, I don't know, a piece of technology like a laptop or something. An old laptop is in essence is fucking junk, but an old guitar from the 60s is fucking gold. Like, it's the difference, isn't it? And I love how they break with the expectations of society, and they buck the trend of like financial expectations, and they get older but they get more valuable, which I think is super interesting and definitely very lovable from a monetary perspective and from a playable perspective and just from an object and a living perspective.
Aside from the obvious impact playing it and the, like you said, the visceral moment you had, is it also partly the story that those things tell?
It's got a place in history. So like an antique is something that tells a story or has a place. It's like a frozen bit of culture, which I think is very fucking cool. Like, life is so effervescent, and before we know it, we're goddamn dead. So it's so good to be able to crystallize something and give it longevity. And I think, like, we're here to talk about the circular economy and waste and just the mundane, mass-produced monotony of life. I think it's very nice when you have an object that breaks out of that process, that churn of consumption.
So your thing is Concept Object.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it was born?
So Concept Object started with me and my wife, Madeline Gosling. We, way back, found an old broken vintage radio. And Maddie's dad is an electrician. He builds defibrillators. Probably the wrong thing, probably not a defibrillator. He builds something that saves people's lives at the NHS. So he's like, bzz, bzz, but not that. So he amazingly, like, he found it so easy. It was unbelievable how easy he felt it to fix this old vintage radio. But what he did is he took, just managed to hardwire a jack into it so we could plug it into our laptop, or this was ages ago, almost 10 years ago now, iPod into it. And the sound of recreating like modern sound, like just MP3s through this old vintage radio, it's just like, what, that sounds so alive. And this radio was being thrown out, it was unwanted, it was unloved, it was battered, it cost like £4 or something. Oh, wow. Stupid. Yeah, all these Philips, you can pick them up for nothing. And like, I had it from the love of valve amplifiers. I was like, I've been blowing a grand on a Fender Twin. And then there's this like beautiful Bush valve radio that sounds boom, and it's been thrown away. And we found out that there was shit tons of these radios being scrapped and thrown away, and we ended up adopting about 500 of them. Yeah, no joke. So like this old guy, his son like phoned us up. He's like, my dad's ill, and he's been collecting radios his whole life, like sheds and sheds of radios, and it was killing us. They were all getting woodworm, they're all rotting, dying. He was like, they just need to go to someone who's not going to fucking burn them.
Yeah.
We're like, cool, we'll take them on. So we still got about 100 of them, mate. Just like
working
in the warehouse.
Working your way through.
Mate, yeah. So we took on these radios. Some of them were exquisite. Like, I've seen some of them in the British Design Museum. But we took them on and we just slowly fixed them up with Wayne, me and Maddie, painting them, spraying them. Just bubbling along in the background, just this fucking shed full of 700 radios. We put on events as well, like, we built, we've been to the Tate and seen that weird tower of speakers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like that, we put a wall. So we wired them all up, but that one's fake, mate, that's just a speaker in the middle of it. Ours was for real. Like, ours, we wired them all up, we just mopped so many bloody jacks, just wired up in this wall of speakers, and it was at my mate's calf, and in his calf, just this wall of speakers, like all these, not but radios, and they all light up, so you've got that glow. People came in and they put their song on, and mate, that evening was like transcendent. Like, the people, like, honestly, when they heard their music being played through all the little radios, it was like, mate, dicked on the Tate exhibition. It was so good because they were hearing their song. And like, it's just the memories came back, and just the sense of wonder and like belonging, and like just in this little calf, the buzz that was going around was absolutely brilliant. And like, we were chatting before, I'd designed spaces. I'm all about community, and like, that's what everyone's striving for from like brand business perspective. It's very valuable, it's effervescent, it's important. Mm. It's also important just as a person to have that in your life. And I remember feeling like such a connection with everyone sharing their music. We were doing an event for Absolute Vodka. We'd designed it all and it got shelved because of COVID. Oh. So we ended up having all this fucking plywood, like kicking around like stacks of it, mate, because we were cutting a bar, getting it all CNC'd. And what we ended up doing is building a sound system. So we knew how we wanted it to make us feel from the valve radios.
Mm.
We knew that we wanted to create this sense of like something that, like I said, is like not like an antique, but something that has its point in history, an object that comes from an idea.
Yeah.
So that ties back into concept object, this strive to make objects that make you fucking feel something, like the radio did. And we set about trying to build a sound system. We just drew pictures, we worked, we collaborated with, because Maddie, my wife, she does interiors as well, and there was quite a lot of people out of work then, so a lot of people, amazing visual merchandisers, amazing store sculptures. So we just like said, what would a sound system look like? We got all these rad drawings back, some people prototyped, made like, we got origami ones back, and concrete shape. So we briefed it out, and just big major props to this amazing designer called Fiona Coop, who we ended up, she sent us this beautiful concrete horn. It's like fucking stunning, matey. And we took that concrete horn and the wood we had, and we took it to a carpenter. got him to make these, like if you see OBJ number one, we got him to make these like wooden horns out of the plywood, and then we worked with another local community, Armstrong Audio, to do sound testing to make sure the response was flat. We worked out that this shape that we created, the hexagon, was very resonant. And then we were like, we've got this beautiful cabinet, we've got to put stuff in it. And like, I went online and like, we found out that a lot of the speakers and stuff, they're fucking expensive. Like, if you need to replace the speaker in a driver, like if you want a new JBL speaker, set you back a fortune. But all these retailers were closing down with amazing sound system in them, amazing ceiling speakers, amazing audio setups, and they were literally scrapping them. No. So we went to reclamation yards and we bought all the speakers. I bought 100 very nice JBL ceiling speakers and just got them in storage now.
I was going to say, yeah. Wait, how do you have any more room?
No, mate, my little two bed is ramoed, bruv. Actually, if anyone has any space, please contact me. Yeah, so these amazing speakers. I looked, I was like, the parts on this, like this is my antiques dealer side coming out. I'm a consultant, I'm a designer. The part, mate, this scraps. Mate, this scraps at way more. Like, the speakers in there were like, we were paying £5 a unit, right? Nothing. But then the parts inside were 120 quid, so we're just stripping them out and then putting all the money into hiring like master crafts people, like carpenters, like working with amazing carpenters. So we put these speakers in, amazing crossovers, really flat response, we tuned it, and then that was kind of our first drop.
Such an interesting series of events that's led you to that first drop, and I can imagine since then you've found some pretty amazing gems in some interesting places.
Yeah, there's a vast amount of amazing materials out there that are unwanted, and like concept object, we seek that out, man. Like old closing cinemas, like I was at Ascot last week because they're changing out their VIP suites. So I took all the speakers from Ascot. They're amazing, mate. They're coaxials from America. Can't buy them here. Beautiful magnets. Oh, mate, they're dying, mate. The next drop, the speakers from Ascot. Yes, amazing stuff. And it's just taking that like unwanted and turning it into something that is quite exclusive. I went to the military and got a load of weapons grade horns that they use for scaring people off. And yeah, that I've got 16 weapons grade horns. They're used in an air raid shelter. They're massive, mate. They're probably about 50 inches by 50.
Clearly design and audio has a big impact on you. What effect are you trying, or what effect you hope to have on the people that come and experience your systems?
Like you said, design and audio, it's got a big part in my life, man. I think music is the greatest form of collaboration. Like when you are playing in a band or you're DJing and you've got that connection with everyone around you, nothing beats that. You don't feel alone anymore. You feel part of something bigger. I think as a human beings, it can be very lonely. And that strive to no longer feel alone is, I've most felt it through music. Like as a kid in a band, like the fact that you were having that connection with four other people in the room, and you felt like you knew what the person was going to do. You very rarely know what's going on in someone's head. When you're playing music together, you're literally on the same fucking page. And like, I know from talking to people that people have experienced this in sports. This connection isn't standalone to music. Like sometimes you get it in like work, or when you're riffing, or when you're writing. And I'd love to be a bit of a catalyst for that. It's a bit of an ambitious leap, but it would be amazing.
Well, I think it sounds like you're well on your way to achieving some of those goals. Now, I want to move on to the circular economy, which is something that you mentioned briefly earlier, and it's clearly a foundation that you've built Concept Object on. So I was wondering if you could give us a brief overview of the circular economy, and then maybe some ideas and suggestions on how people listening can engage with it.
The circular economy is a no-brainer, isn't it, really? Like, we have to reuse. There's so much fucking stuff, man. And so much of that stuff isn't very good, and it keeps adding to it. Like, I'm an art student. I went to art school, and my tutor stood up, and he was just like, there's a fucking massive pile of bad art out there. Like, do you really want to add to it? And, like, I feel that's about, like, stuff. Like, do you know how much stuff there is out there? We're drowning in it. It's mad. There has to be, like, a better way than just churning out the same thing that's slightly different every year. Like, oh, it's fucking grey now. Well done. Like, great. That's going to bring me joy. That's going to fill the gaping void in my soul.
For 12 months.
Until
the pink one
and then I have to get it in light grey. It's like, it's not a sustainable way to live, man. It's just not, it's not a very healthy way to live as well. Constantly looking for the, like, you've got to balance the amount that you consume with the amount that you create. I know that I'm in a very privileged position that I create and I make every day, and it's part of my lifestyle choice and it's part of my routine. But I think just being mindful of it, and yeah, it's a tricky one, man, because you could grow your own fucking vegetables, you could do all of this, but it's hard to, this is the time, and it's hard. Like, mate, going off on a fucking tangent here, the thing that, if anyone can ask me how they can afford to sell coleslaw at the price that coleslaw is, I will happily buy you a beer. Mate, have you ever tried to grow carrots and onions? And have you ever tried to make mayonnaise, bruv? Whisk a fucking lemon, like, and then, like, pump, like, get the fucking plastic out from the centre of the earth, get the oil out, refine it, make a plastic pot. Like, you've take 6 months to grow the carrots, take another 4 months to grow the onions, take you a good day to make the mayonnaise, don't know how to do refined plastic, but that's fucking 40p. That blows my mind every time I see coleslaw in the supermarket. Like, it melts me. I'm like, how is that that cheap? Do you know, I'd go off now and make a plastic tub of coleslaw for under, I don't know, 60 quid?
I'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. It's mad, man. I know, it's just not fair. The value economy is fucked. Like, it's fucked, man. It's so disproportionate to what things are now.
Mm.
It's completely disconnected from real life. Like, the fact that it's so hard, the great, like, making something really grounds you in how fucking hard it is to make something. Paying a master crafts person to make a speaker is just eye-opening, the amount of time and effort and the blood and the sweat and the tears and the cuts and the crafts and the drawings and the thinking and just the personal experience they have with that object. And people, just make something. Like, literally just go out. Like, just make some fucking origami, man. But I think it is just grounding yourself and just making something. Just, there's nothing more humanizing. Because you find out how sodding hard it is, mate. And, like, as a designer, I do a lot of drawings. And I hand that off and it's no longer my problem. But when I have to build, when I have to work with a carpenter, when I have to help with the measurements and get hands-on, it is very, like, everyone go home and make some fucking coleslaw and then come back and tell me that was worth it. Like, it was not. Like, I think we've got to take a long, hard look at the value that a society is dictating on making things and things. It's a bit of a race to the bottom, isn't it? I know it's not very happy. And so, yeah, it's not a massively positive message, but just make something and just be aware of it. Don't, like, it's tricky, isn't it? But and find joy in old things, man. Like, these shoes I'm wearing, mate, they're older than me. These are my dad's.
No.
Yeah. They're old shoes, man. Like, just find joy in the older things and then just fix them. Like, put a new sole. These are four soles. But, like, yeah, just fix things.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like the Trigger's broom, is it?
For yeah, it is story. A bit. No, but that's a good way. Like, you it keeps it. It does. I love that. The whole, the boat thing and the broom thing yeah. or the spade thing. Like, just, yeah, just fix things. Try and make your own coleslaw. And make something. Just try and make something. It's very humbling and it's very human, and I think we kind of lose sight of what it is to be human when we start mass producing everything on such a large scale and churning out so much stuff. It just, we almost lose our humanity in the fucking flood of like forgettable things. Yeah, just have a crack at making something. No, or fixing something. Yeah. Like fixing my fire alarm, this is fucking stupid, I don't know why I'm telling you this, broke. I managed to fix it. I was like, oh yeah, that's probably not very safe. But like, just have a go at fixing stuff.
I did the same with my doorbell.
Yeah, it went.
Absolutely chuffed.
Yes, absolutely, I know, bro. Game like, over.
And I was like, how on earth did I even manage that? I was like, I don't even understand how it's connected.
But it worked.
But it rang.
It's joy, mate. Like, that's what I get when I... Like, oh man, the feel, you times that by 50, mate, when you turn a speaker on. You've driven to fucking Sunderland or somewhere to pick up this crossover. You've gone to like Newport to pick up the plywood. You've been whizzing all over the place to get all of this unwanted stuff, and you've worked with the carpenter, you've done the plans, and then you turn it on and it creates this sound and it's alive. Like your doorbell, it's alive. And the energy, man, it's life affirming. Like, they've just passed that law that things have to be fixable.
Yeah.
Which was fucking stupid to think that they didn't. I'm gonna make this thing, and if it breaks, it's gone. Like, it's one-use plastic, one-use laptop, mate. Like, what the fuck? Lithium batteries, which are fucking toxic. Like, all of that stuff just going back into the earth. Mad. A speaker, like I said, it's a magnet. We can fix the paper, we can sort it all out. Like, it's very fixable. A lot of this stuff just needs to be made possible to be able to fix it and replace it, and then you need the tools out there to educate people that they can do it. Like, I think, yeah, encouraging that maker attitude is going to be integral.
To wrap things off, as we usually do, yeah. Can you recommend something to listen to, read or watch that has helped you gain an insight into a culture unfamiliar to your own?
There's a film I watched about the judicial system being in prison on Netflix called Mustang.
Okay.
It's quite beautiful. It's about this guy that ends up in prison. I won't ruin the story, but his life is saved by bringing up horses. So in the prison system in America, it's pretty much a slave labor. They get them to make jeans, but part of the way out of this, you could train horses to sell back to the military or back to the police force. And this chap, who's in prison for horrible reasons, he's not a very nice person, but he finds redemption through the animals. And I thought it was quite insightful how fucking brutal life is. It's fucking heartbreaking, mate. It's fucking raw, but like, it definitely gave me a wee bit of insight. I don't want to go to prison, don't really like horses, but but life is fucking brutal but very beautiful, and I love that juxtaposition between the brutality and the beautifulness. And I think that film does it in a very enlightened, in a very interesting way. If I want something that aligns with just all the garble I've been garbling on about, is, have you seen the Sound City documentary with David Grohl?
No,
it's fucking amazing, man. Talks about creative feel, like the soul in objects, being able to unlock the third man in recording sessions. It doesn't give me an outside. It just aligns completely with everything I believe in.
But, so go and watch it, everyone. Yeah.
Both, yeah. Watch Mustang and Sound City.
That eye-opening chat certainly gave me a new perspective on a few things and a desire to turn my hand to making more often. Please take some time to check out the incredible creations Jack and Madeline produce at Concept Object. And as always, there are links in the description to the recommendations Jack made. Until next time.